Sorry.
The sound is low.
Yes,
Okay, good.
I'm adjusting that now. So shall we start?
Yes, one second. Yes, please start.
Shall we start with Jai Radha Madhava or just the lecture?
Alright, Jai Radha Madhava would be amazing.
Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Parivrajakacharya Ashtotra Sat His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Shyama Sundar Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balarama Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vande Ham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Very warm greetings to all of you who are attending from Moscow and other parts of Russia. I'm very happy to be able to be with all of you once again after quite a while. And I do hope that all of you are keeping well and safe. And I hope that the coronavirus pandemic has somewhat subsided, or at least is subsiding. And I hope that your Krishna consciousness is also going on very nicely. So today I will be speaking about what it means when we say that Krishna protects his devotees. We all know as devotees that Krishna protects his devotees. And this is one of the fundamental principles of our Krishna conscious conviction and philosophy. There are numerous verses in the scriptures, in Bhagavad Gita as well as Srimad Bhagavatam and elsewhere, where Krishna, as well as the devotees of the Lord, they declare that Krishna will always protect his devotees. Krishna especially says, Kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigacchati konti apratijani hi name bhaktah pranashyati, which means, he says in the last two lines of this verse that, my dear Arjuna, please declare boldly that my devotee will never perish, my devotee will never be vanquished. In other words, Krishna is declaring through Arjuna that he will always protect his devotees. Now, the question arises, what does the word protection mean here? Generally, because people in this world are situated in the bodily concept of life, so they tend to think of everything in those terms. So therefore, people generally tend to think of happiness in terms of the body, or sorrow in terms of the body, honor and dishonor, success and failure, everything in terms of the body and in terms of the extensions of the body or the things connected to the body. Not just the body, but what are the things connected to this body? Our wealth, our loved ones, our honor and prestige in the society, our position. So these are things that are connected to our body. And generally, when we think of what is good and what is bad, what is beneficial and what is not beneficial, we think in terms of these categories of our existence. So naturally, when we think of protection, it is the general tendency of people to think of protection of the body, specifically of the body. Sometimes devotees may say, no, Krishna's job is not to protect the devotees, Krishna's job is to protect our consciousness alone. But that is also not a fact. As far as protection of the consciousness is concerned, we'll come to that a little later on during my talk. However, let's address this issue of protection of the body first, because this is most important for us. Even though as devotees we do know, at least intellectually, and we have some realization also that we are not this body, still the attachment to the body is very strong, and we are in this body. So this body is an important vehicle for us to accomplish many things in this world. So therefore, protection of the body for us is very important. To say that Krishna does not protect the body of the devotee is not true. And there are numerous instances of how Krishna does indeed protect the body of his devotee. One example, a very famous example, is that of Prahlad. We all know from the Srimad Bhagavatam that Prahlad's evil and demoniac father, Hiranyakashipu, tried to kill Prahlad in so many ways. He was attacked with sharp weapons. He was put in a pit of poisonous snakes. He was thrown from the top of a cliff. And numerous other devices were employed to destroy Prahlad's body. But miraculously, by the protection of the Supreme Lord, Prahlad was protected in every instance. Another example that we can see is of Maharaj Ambarish. When Durvasa Muni created a demon from his hair, and the demon threatened to kill Maharaj Ambarish, Maharaj Ambarish simply prayed to the lotus feet of the Lord. He simply remembered the Lord. And the Lord Sudarshan Chakra protected Maharaj Ambarish's body. And in fact, that Sudarshan Chakra destroyed the demon himself and started chasing after Durvasa Muni. Another example that we can think of is the Brajavasis. On numerous occasions, practically every single day, Krishna protected his dear Vrajavasi devotees from various dangers, particularly those wherein various demons were attacking Vrindavan. So there were big demons like Arishtasura or Kesi, Bakasura, etc., who Krishna killed, and sometimes Balaram also killed. Then there were fierce snakes who poisoned everything in the Yamuna and even killed the cowherd boys and the cows. But Krishna subdued Kaliya and brought the devotees of Vrindavan back to life. So we see that Krishna was definitely protecting the bodies of his devotees. Then what about the Pandavas? You know, the Pandavas were greatly outnumbered in the battle of Kurukshetra. And still, as Parikshit Maharaj declares in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that it is only because of the mercy of Krishna that his grandfathers, the Pandavas, were protected. Even though the opposing army of the Kauravas was, from a material standpoint, much more powerful. And they had very powerful warriors like Bhishma, Drona, Karna, etc. But still, because Krishna was on the side of the Pandavas, therefore the Pandavas emerged victorious. Even though there were such large-scale casualties in the battle, millions and millions of soldiers died in that war. And only about 10 or 11 people survived. All the five Pandavas were amongst the survivors. So just imagine the degree to which Krishna has taken pains to protect the body of his devotees. Srila Prabhupada also gives instances where During the Second World War, in 1970, in one of the lectures, he said that in 1942, during the Second World War, there was famine everywhere in India, in certain parts, especially in Bengal. And many people were starving, and they had so many difficulties. But he says the devotees did not face any difficulty. They were able to get food somehow or the other, and they survived. Similarly, he speaks of another instance when in 1933 there was a big earthquake in Bengal, and many, many houses were brought down to the earth. They were destroyed completely. There was only one house that was left untouched, whilst all the other houses in the neighborhood collapsed. And this house was the house that belonged to the only devotee in that area. So Srila Prabhupada explained this as an example of how Krishna protects his devotees physically. Now, all of us also, in our day-to-day life, in our personal life, we have experienced it, or we have seen it happening with other devotees, where Krishna protects the body of the devotee. We have a narrow miss in a car accident, or an air crash, or something like that. Or we have a serious ailment, and we are cured of that miraculously. So therefore, the fact that Krishna protects the body of his devotee is not something that is hypothetical. It happens, and it happens many, many, many times on a regular basis. However, protection of the body is not the only aspect of protection that is offered by Krishna to his devotees. It is certainly an important aspect, but it is not the only aspect. I was referring to the physical body. Sometimes, we are also very much concerned about the protection of those things connected to the physical body, as I mentioned earlier. For example, like our wealth. Many times devotees have experienced how they were saved of some major financial loss somehow or the other miraculously. We also see in the case of Draupadi that even though there was no threat to her life in the assembly of the Kauravas, but there was a very severe and serious attempt to assault her, to damage her honor by disrobing her in full public view. Now, this is something that is a great insult to any lady who would not like to be treated in this manner. So here, Krishna incarnated in the form of her sari and protected the honor of Draupadi. So we can see that there are many instances where Krishna protects not only the physical body of his devotees, but he also protects the things that are connected to the body. Sometimes, however, Krishna will do the opposite. Now, so far we've been talking of instances where Krishna protects the body and the things connected to the body of his devotees. But equally, there are innumerable instances when Krishna takes away these things. Let's first talk about the physical body. Sometimes we see that devotees die of various ailments, maybe like cancer or the coronavirus or maybe in a car accident or something like that. And this has happened to so many devotees. So devotees then may sometimes ask that why has this happened to a devotee? And why has Krishna not protected the body of his devotee? So, whilst Krishna does protect the body of the devotee in many cases, there are many cases where he does not, and there are reasons for that. The first reason for that is that this material body is meant to be temporary anyway. It is Krishna who has designed the material world to be temporary and full of misery. This is a clear statement from the Bhagavad Gita. So everything that is material, that has a material form, will be temporary and it will be destroyed in course of time. And this is the law, this is the system that Krishna has himself set up for this material world. So therefore, Krishna will not indefinitely protect the body of his devotees, because then he would be violating the laws and the systems that he himself has set up for this material world. And it will not make sense for the material body to just continue indefinitely. So the material body must be destroyed at some point in time. So we could argue that why did this happen at any age? Why only at a certain age? So that's, we come to the second point, that Krishna is perfect in his wisdom. And he knows what is best for us. We think of what is good and what is bad, not only in the bodily conception of life, but specifically in a time frame that is connected to this lifetime only. Because we do not know what was before this birth, and we do not know what will happen after this birth. So therefore we think of good and bad only in terms of what our material and limited intelligence can tell us. But Krishna's intelligence is unlimited. Krishna's mercy is unlimited. Krishna is our eternal well-wisher. Not only is he all-powerful and all-intelligent, he is also fully kind. Therefore, whatever he does for his devotee, or for anyone else for that matter, will only be for their good. There is some higher purpose that Krishna has in mind when he allows the body of a devotee to get destroyed in what may appear to be a premature situation. Thirdly, Krishna may have some other service for a particular devotee in another realm, either in the material world or in the spiritual world. And Krishna wants to take the devotee there. It may also be, furthermore, that Krishna understands that if he lets this devotee continue in this situation, it will cause even greater misery. So better to take away the devotee from the situation right now. So in this way, Krishna will have his own sublime reasons for allowing the body of a devotee to get destroyed at some point in time. And at that time, he does not protect the body of the devotee. Similarly, whilst Krishna will protect the wealth and honor of the devotees, there may be occasions where he does not. And this is for the sake of the purification of the devotees. Srila Prabhupada gives his own example about how Krishna took away everything from him. And he says here, I am quoting something that Prabhupada said. Quote, if one actually wants to be a devotee, but at the same time keeps his material attachment, then Krishna's business is that he takes away everything material. So the devotee becomes 100% dependent on him. So that actually happened in my life. Prabhupada used to sometimes cite this verse from the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in Uddhava Gita, when Krishna speaks to Uddhava. And he says, Yasyaham anugranami harishye taddhanam shanaihi. The meaning of this is that Krishna says that upon whom I shower my mercy, I take away everything from that person. So, when Krishna takes away something from somebody, whether it's his body or his wealth or his honor, it is actually a sign of his mercy, because he wants the devotee to be more and more dependent on him, to surrender to him utterly. Krishna also took away the wealth, the kingdom, the prestige and the honor of the Pandavas. Just imagine, they were living a royal life in the midst of such great opulence and power. And one fine day, they lost everything. And it must have been, it was indeed a great test for them. Very great test. But because they were exalted devotees, therefore their devotion only increased. And here is another reason why Krishna not only allows the material things to be taken away from a devotee, but sometimes may directly engineer such an incident to happen. And the reason, one more reason for that is that Krishna wants to demonstrate through this devotee or devotees how exalted and great they are. Like the Pandavas never gave up their devotion when everything was taken away from them. So Krishna glorified the Pandavas when he took away everything from them. So because Krishna wants to glorify his devotees. And also, Krishna wants to broadcast the glories of the devotees to the world and make the world understand how they should react or respond when things are taken away from them. So therefore, Krishna wants to teach the world how we should live in the midst of the dualities of material existence. So when Krishna takes away something from the devotees, it could also be for the sake of instructing the rest of the world on how they should deal with such calamities. So therefore we can see that sometimes Krishna will protect the body and its connections, and sometimes Krishna will not protect. As far as devotees are concerned, when they are protected, when their physical things, the material things are protected, they feel very grateful. And their faith increases. It encourages them. But when Krishna takes away something, the non-devotees and even those devotees with very weak faith, they lose their faith in Krishna or in God, and they start doubting. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of the Second World War, where Germany was fighting against England. These were two of the countries. There were many other countries, of course, but he gave the example of these two countries. And all the countries involved here were Christian countries. So the mothers of the soldiers in both countries were praying that their sons should be safe and protected in the war. But naturally, in a war, many people are going to die. So many of these ladies lost their sons on both sides. And amongst these ladies, many lost their faith in God. Perhaps if Krishna or if God had protected their sons, maybe they would have increased their faith. Perhaps, maybe, maybe not, but perhaps they would have. But when their sons were taken away from them, then they lost their faith. So it goes to show that only very strong, faithful devotees will retain their faith in God when their material assets are taken away. Many others will not, perhaps. So in this way we see that devotees and non-devotees respond differently. Advanced devotees and neophyte devotees will also respond differently when things are taken away. And neophyte devotees may question, what is the meaning of Krishna's protection if he has allowed this to happen to me? Because they do not understand Krishna's merciful nature, and they only think in terms of their own material self-interest. So, devotees must have staunch faith that Krishna will protect. And whatever he does is his protection. Rakshishyati iti vishvaso. This is a part of a verse where one of the symptoms of surrender is that one must have firm faith that Krishna will protect. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says, Avashya Rakshibe Krishna, certainly Krishna will protect. So Krishna is certainly willing to protect, but the devotee must also have that faith and that willingness to accept the protection. And also to have the intelligence and knowledge to understand what protection really means. However, I'll come to this point of what protection really means a little in a few minutes. But now I'd like to speak for a minute or two about how important it is for us to have strong faith in Krishna's protection. Prabhupada gives the example of an incident that happened when he was in his grihastha life. In the city of Calcutta, he was traveling by tram. Along with his young 2 or 3 year old son. So the conductor of the tram came to get the fare for the ticket for the tram. So the conductor saw this little boy and he thought there could be some little joking with the little boy. So he did not ask the father, that is Prabhupada. But the conductor directly asked the little boy. He said, "Do you have your money for your ticket?" So the boy replied, "I don't have any money." So the conductor said, "Then you have to get down from the tram. Since you don't have money to buy the ticket, you should get down." Remember, this was a joking exchange, but the boy didn't understand it was a joke. So when the conductor told him that if you don't have money, you should get down from the tram, then the boy immediately caught hold of the father's hand, that is Prabhupada's hand. And he said, "My father is here with me. You cannot ask me to leave the tram. I will not get off the tram." Because this child was totally surrendered to the father. He was confident of the father's protection. So this is the psychology of Sharanagati or surrender. To have full faith in the protection of a superior. And the topmost personality who can offer us the topmost shelter and protection is Krishna. Now, the question arises. Now we will come to the question of what exactly is the meaning of protection. So in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna declares, "Tesha maham samuddharta mrityu samsara sagarat bhavami na chirat partha maya veshita chetasam." He says that for those who are constantly devoted to me and who are engaged in serving me with love, I become the deliverer. Aham samuddhata. So deliverer from what? Mrityu samsara sagarat. From this ocean of material existence. And I will come very quickly to do this. To deliver my devotee. So this is real protection, which is the removing of dangers, removing a devotee from the dangers of the material world permanently. So Srila Prabhupada in one lecture, or rather in Nectar of Devotion, he explains what is the meaning of the word vanquished. Because when Krishna says, "My devotee will never be vanquished," what does it mean, this word vanquished? Prabhupada says that the word vanquished means that having got the golden opportunity of the human form of life, one does not utilize it for getting out of the cycle of birth and death, and one continues on in this cycle of birth and death. This means one is vanquished. So one is defeated or vanquished when one is forced to take birth again and again in this material world, and one is forced to accept the sufferings that accompany the acceptance of a material body in this material world. And Srila Prabhupada goes on to say that throughout the cycle of birth and death, there are 8.4 million species of life. And we keep rotating in this cycle of birth and death. And we have no idea what we are going to become in the next life. Whether we will become a beast or a bird or an insect or a human being. Imagine if somebody is a very, very powerful person on the planet. Let's say the powerful head of state of some country. But in the next life, he becomes a cat or a dog. What is the meaning of such success that he has attained in the human life? Srila Prabhupada said that when he lived in Delhi, there was one astrologer who had made a prediction that a big political leader in India who had died recently was now reborn as a dog in Sweden. And Srila Prabhupada said, I do not know if this particular astrological prediction is accurate or not. It may be true, it may not be true. But Srila Prabhupada said that the point is that such things can happen and do happen, which means that one may be a so-called successful and powerful person in the human body, but in the next life, one becomes a dog. So, then one is vanquished. So, one is defeated when one gets birth in a lower species of life, or even if one gets born again in the material world and has no trace of any prospect of liberation from this cycle. So, therefore, the real success of life means that one gets out of the cycle of birth and death and goes back to the spiritual world. So Krishna's protection to his devotees is that he ensures that his devotees are not vanquished or defeated in the way that I just described. even if the devotees are not perfect in their Krishna consciousness, he will protect their consciousness even in the next life and ensure that the devotee continues Krishna consciousness till he or she attains perfection. So whatever Krishna does for his devotees is for their good, for their protection from being defeated or vanquished in this way. So, in the next life, one will get an opportunity to be born in a devotee family and continue one's Krishna consciousness. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Neha bhikramanashosti pratyavayo navidyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. That even if somebody does a little bit of devotional service to Krishna, then Krishna will protect the devotee from the most dangerous type of fear. And that devotee will get a chance in the next life to continue Krishna consciousness. So in this way, we see that the consciousness of the devotee is protected and it goes beyond the body. Even though the material body is destroyed, but the Krishna consciousness is not destroyed. So this is the ultimate meaning of protection. And whether Krishna destroys the body and its connections, or whether he protects the body and its connections, Krishna's intention is one only. That is to facilitate the growth of that devotee in Krishna consciousness. When he thinks it will be more beneficial for that devotee's consciousness, for the body to be destroyed, or for the connections of the body to be destroyed, then he will do so. But if he feels it will be helpful to protect the body and the connections of the devotee, then he will do that, offer that protection as well. So ultimately, Krishna, being the ever well-wisher of his devotees, will always protect his devotees when we understand the word protection in this way. Even actually in the Nectar of Devotion it is said that Indra declares to Krishna, after the Govardhan Leela, that, "My dear Krishna, you have kept your promise that your devotees will never be vanquished." So these are a few thoughts on how Krishna will protect all of us. And I just want to conclude on one final point, which is that because Krishna promises his protection to the devotees, it does not mean that the devotees should also not put in reasonable endeavor to protect themselves. For example, you are driving a car, we will not drive rashly. you know, thinking Krishna will protect us. We also have to be careful that the fact that Krishna will protect should not become an excuse for our negligence and carelessness. One time, I like to narrate this incident. One time I was in Vrindavan and we had gone to some place which was about an hour's distance from the town of Vrindavan. And the driver of the car was driving rather recklessly or dangerously. So I told the driver, please slow down, don't go so fast. Because many accidents happen on this road, it is not safe, just slow down a bit. So he continued and he did for some time, then again he started going fast, so I had to tell him a second time. And then he replied, oh Maharaj, Radharani will protect us. So I told him, no, Radharani gets off the car at the speed of 70. So now we are on our own. So we are responsible for our own protection at this time. So don't simply use Srimati Radharani to just be careless and reckless. Similarly, when we go to sleep at night in our homes or in the ashram, we make sure the doors are locked. We don't leave the doors open so that the thieves and burglars may come in and take whatever they like and go away. We don't leave the doors open and say, well, Krishna will protect us. So we do take our own measures as well for our own protection. Why should we unnecessarily trouble Krishna for little things which we are capable of doing ourselves? Krishna has given us intelligence, some ability, some resources, so we should utilize them in a reasonable way. And when things go beyond a point when it is not in our hands, yes, then we say, Krishna, whatever you please. So that is why when we fall sick, we still go to a doctor. We do take help of other people for our protection, like lawyers and the police and so on. So we may take shelter and protection of the people and the phenomena of this world to a reasonable extent. But we do know that these things ultimately have their limitation. And that ultimately it is only Krishna who can protect us. Even when the best of doctors and medicines are there, a patient may die. So ultimately the protection is offered by Krishna. And whilst we use our resources in this world for our protection in a reasonable way, ultimately we should realize it is only Krishna who can protect us and will protect us. And when we chant the holy name, we are actually taking shelter of Krishna to engage in his service and in Srimati Radharani's service And that is our ultimate protection. So thank you very much. And if you have any questions, please feel free to ask. Okay. So there is one question here. Sankarshan Nithai Prabhu, can you hear me? Yes, you can hear. Okay. So one question that is here is, it is considered auspicious when a devotee leaves their body surrounded by other devotees, kirtan, etc. But it sometimes happens that a devotee is alone in a hospital, at home, is in an accident, etc. How can we understand this? Well, for a devotee, everything is auspicious because the devotee is under the shelter of Krishna. So, whilst a devotee who leaves the body surrounded by other devotees in kirtan and so on is very fortunate, definitely, and it is very auspicious, undoubtedly, still, sometimes a devotee may die in peculiar circumstances. But because Krishna is very kind to his devotees, the devotees are assured of auspiciousness and protection in all circumstances. Okay? Is there any other question? Were you able to hear everything clearly, Sankarshan Nithai Prabhu, as I spoke? You were. Okay. All right, so spasiba, and thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol, Hare Krishna, ISKCON Moscow Yatra ki jai, ISKCON Russia Yatra ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hare Krishna.